just you. Countless are your works and wonders. They keep going on and on, unending. So
praise the Lord, everyone. So good to see each and every one of your smiling faces out there this morning. If you're not smiling yet, go ahead and practice. Praise God. Now it looks a lot better. We're ready for a picture. So good to have each and every one of y'all here this morning. All visitors, we're certainly thankful that you came to be a part of our Easter service today. We want to make you very welcome today, and praise God. I see a lot of familiar faces. We've got our Sunday school superintendent going to come up this morning to show up a little bit about our Sunday school program that we've been having coming. Come on ahead, Brother Ronnie. He acted like he wasn't ready yet. But we're certainly thankful that each and every one of y'all came and came to celebrate our risen Savior. Praise God. Come on, Brother Ronnie.
All right. This is the last Sunday of our Sunday school drive. And the McCoys, the Hatfields and McCoys, if you don't know about it, they've been really in a feud here, but this Sunday will take care of all, give the biggest offering, and who brought the most, and by the time this service is over, I should know who the winner is. Where's the Hatfields and McCoys? There's one of them. Let them say something about this contest, and then we'll turn it back over to Brother Randy.
Well, we got a lot of visitors today on both teams. We're happy to see everybody here, no matter what team you're on. There's not a better place in Parrish to be. Make you feel more like family, and even though we've had our little competition here, we're happy to see them on both sides, and we're just glad everybody's here, and we love seeing y'all.
Good morning, UPC of Parrish. Let's get excited this morning. If you're part of the blue team, can we get a woo? If you're part of the red team, because we got so many people here, can we get a woo? Everybody, woo! Hey, been having fun with this Easter drive. I don't want to call it too early, but I think the blue team won. Anyways, thank you everyone for bringing a guest. Thank you everyone for attending these past 4 weeks for this Easter drive. I pray that we continue to bring more people in the house of the Lord, and we continue to show up every Sunday and get blessed. Thank y'all.
Right. Doesn't matter which team you're on. We're all one team this morning. My goodness, y'all see this crowd up front? We don't get to see them on Sunday mornings very often. We got our Sunday school that's going to come up at this time and sing some songs for us this morning, led by our Sunday school leadership department. How many is thankful for our Sunday school this morning? Let's give them a hand. Our young people and those that lead them, we're so thankful to have them come up this morning and sing us a song. Praise God. This is the future of our church right here coming up. Some would say it's the present. Well, these kids are going to grow up to be Sunday school teachers, ministers. The sky's the limit this morning. Praise God. Y'all worship with these young people as they come up to praise God. Take pictures. Do whatever you want to this morning. I know y'all are proud of some of these young kids. Praise God. Praise the Lord. My goodness. Those kids, if that don't get you excited, you're not able to be excited. Praise God. My goodness, there's a good crowd here this morning. How many's ready to worship the King? How many's ready to worship a risen King? Praise God. He's a victorious King. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning as our praise team comes up to lead us. Praise God. You look around. Look around and just wave at somebody. You ain't got time to shake hands. Just give them a good wave this morning. Praise God. How many came to worship today? Praise God. He's worthy of our worship in this house this morning. Hallelujah. He didn't just go to the grave. He went through the grave. Praise God. That gives us hope and a promise that same resurrection power that brought him up out of the grave is going to bring us up out of the grave one of these days. I'm so thankful for that. It ought to be easy to praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Y'all worship with them this morning as they come to lead us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
I receive the sign.
This morning, praise God. We do have a remember our prayer list up here on the on the screen this morning as we go in prayer for those in need. If there's anyone here this morning that has a need in their life, please come at this time. We'll pray with you, anoint you with oil, whatever the need is. God will meet it this morning. And we do want to did have a special request for Brenda. She's fixing to go in surgery for her heart, and she's from Houston, Texas. We need to lift her up in prayer along with these on our board this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning for all these needs, and then we're going to get our ushers to come up immediately after that, and we're going to receive our tithes and offering for this morning. Father, we're so thankful, God, to be able to come to you in faith, Lord. Believe in you, Lord, for the miraculous, Lord. We know, Lord, that you know what we have need of before we even ask this morning, Lord. We're just praying for each name on this board. We pray for Brenda. Lord, we pray that you would touch her as she's on this upcoming surgery that she's about to go through. We pray that you would be with her, Lord, and strengthen her, heal her body, Lord. We're just so thankful for your goodness and mercy this morning. We're thankful, God. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, praise God. Father, we thank you for this offering, this ability, our ability to give in this offering. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you bless each one here this morning, each family. Lord God, we give you the praise and honor this morning in Jesus' name. Y'all give to the Lord this morning as we receive our tithes and offering. Praise God.
Still high and limited. You're still. Why don't we lift up the name of Jesus together this morning? How about that? Jesus, we love you today. Thank you, Lord. God, we praise your name. There is none like you, Jesus. We give you great praise today, God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness today. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy today, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your name. What a God. What a God. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nobody like Jesus. That was weak. I said there's nobody like Jesus. Amen. I'm talking to any believers today. Nobody like the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. So good to be in service this morning. And God bless you for being here on Easter Sunday. Amen. It's the greatest day on the calendar year for a believer. Amen. If he doesn't get out of the grave, we shouldn't show up to church. Amen. But thank the Lord he got out of the grave. And the reason why I know he got out of the grave is because, oh, what a change he made in my life. Thank God for the change that he made. Amen. Praise God. Let me just say a couple of things. Again, if you're a guest today, God bless you for being here at the UPC of Paris. We're so glad you're here. And I do want to say what an incredible time we had yesterday evening with our Sunday school department and those who assisted there. Incredible turnout. Great night last night. Lots of guests. It was a great night. Amen. God bless you for coming to that and for all of those who were responsible for helping getting it together. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Didn't you enjoy our kids this morning? We love our kiddos. Aren't they so awesome? Amen. We love our kids. Amen. That's the next generation of the church. We thank God for our kids. And we want to do everything we can to give them platforms, opportunities to grow in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Amen. I'm turning today to Mark chapter 16. I'm aware it's Easter Sunday and you have plans. But I do want to speak to us for a few minutes. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7 is our text today. Of course, this is a familiar scripture. And scripture says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. Everyone said, he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. I want to read verse 6 one more time, of course. The angel speaks to those ladies and says, shouldn't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. I know who you're seeking after, but the one you're seeking after, the one you saw on a cross on Friday, he's not here. He is risen. I want to preach today for a little while on simply a risen Savior for a buried world. A risen Savior for a buried world. Why don't we pray? Lord, we love you. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's in this house. Thank you, God, for our praise team that led us in worship so anointed this morning. God, I ask you to bless the remainder of this service with all of us today, God. Let the Holy Ghost, I pray, speak to us today. Let your word, I pray, God, find good ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. A risen Savior for a buried world. Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And before we are ever
introduced to Adam and Eve, God creates everything that these two human beings will need to thrive on this planet. If you read the account in Genesis chapter 1, and I won't do so this morning, I'll just highlight some things, but for 6 days, God prepares a home for humanity. On day one, he creates light and time. On day two, he creates the sky, the expanse above us. On day three, God creates the dry land, the seas, and the plants. On the fourth day, the scriptures tell us that he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the fifth day, the Bible says that he created the sea creatures and all the birds of the air. And on the sixth day in Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 24, the Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And after all of that, verse 27 tells us, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female." And God speaks to his creation. He speaks to Adam and he tells him that you are free to eat from any tree you wish in this garden, all except one. In Genesis 2:17, he said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from that tree, you will surely die." And all was well for some time. They are in relationship with God, the Creator, and that is until the serpent, the devil, as the scripture portrays him, he shows up in the garden. He's there for one reason, and that is to see if he cannot deceive God's most prized creation. Scripture lets us know that after conversing with Eve, the serpent called the devil, he convinces her to partake of what God said not to partake of. And when Adam walks up, she offers it to Adam as well. And the Bible tells us that he also partakes of what God said he was not to eat. And as a result of their disobedience, humanity becomes buried beneath the weight of sin. And for roughly the next 4,000 years or so, humanity waited on a Savior who would come and right the wrong committed by the first Adam in the garden. From the very beginning, God established that sin required a covering through the shedding of blood. After the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, God himself performs the first sacrifice by killing animals to cover Adam and Eve in skins. And long before God instituted what we now know as the Mosaic Law, Abel, the Bible says, who was Adam and Eve's first son or second son, he brought a blood sacrifice from his flock, which the scripture says that God accepted. Long before the Mosaic Law was ever established, Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, these great patriarchs of the faith, they all built altars and they all offered burnt sacrifices to God long before a formal law was given. These sacrifices, we know, they did not remove sin permanently, but they served as a temporary covering and a way for humanity to maintain fellowship with God. When God was establishing the Mosaic Law, he's
speaking to Moses, and God tells Moses in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the reason why, the purpose behind the shedding of blood that covers sin. He says, this is why we have blood shed. The life, he said, of the body is in the blood. And he told Moses, I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. The Lord continues and tells Moses, it is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. Roughly 700 to 750 years after God tells Moses the reason why the blood must be shed, a man named Isaiah comes onto the scene, and under a prophetic anointing, he would write a passage that he really wouldn't understand as he was writing. And while that great prophet Isaiah was a brilliant prophet, the details he records in the famous passage we read in Isaiah 53, like the Messiah is going to be pierced, he'll be crushed, he'll be dying alongside the rich. He was perfectly describing a Roman execution method called crucifixion that hadn't even been invented yet. But unbeknownst to Isaiah, he was writing about the last Adam who would come, who was on the way to redeem man with his own blood. Isaiah would write, beginning in Isaiah 53 and 1, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up, speaking of the Lord who was to come, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He, the Lord, was going to be oppressed. He would be afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before it shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Strangely enough, 700 to 750 years after Isaiah writes this prophetic prophecy, an angel appears unto a little Jew girl named Mary, and he lets her know that she is highly favored, that she is blessed among the women. And she was troubled when the angel told her these things. And the angel said, Mary, don't fear, because you found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and you're going to bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. The angel tells her, this boy is going to be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The angel answered and told her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee, Mary, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Joseph understands who she is espoused to be married to. He knows that something's going on. He knows that Mary is now pregnant. And the Bible says he thinks to himself, how can he privately put her away? But before he can, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, 9, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And about 9 months later, after 4,000 years or so of waiting for a Messiah, shepherds are in a field keeping their flock by night when the angel of the Lord appears to these shepherds and tells them, behold, I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly the Bible says there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And sure enough, the shepherds and wise men make their way to that lowly manger, and there in the manger is that baby we know as Jesus Christ. There lying in a manger, it is the one who God told the serpent in the garden. He said, listen, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and you will bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. It's there in the manger is the one who Isaiah would write about and say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There lying in a manger is the one that Micah wrote about in Micah 5:2 and said, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, out of thee he shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. And true to his word, here he is, the Savior of the world, the long-awaited Messiah. For 30 years he grows. And at age 30, the Bible says that John the Baptist, he sees Jesus coming. And he says in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And for 3.5 years, this man, Jesus, walks from town to town, performing miracles, signs, and wonders. For 3.5 years, he is on a head-on collision course with the place called Calvary. And as his fame grows, the religious rulers stir up every kind of grievance imaginable against him until they finally get him. Unbeknownst to them, they get him to a prophetic timeline where the Christ, he is arrested, he is falsely accused, he is beaten within an inch of his life. Crown of thorns is shoved into his skull. He's lied upon. He's spit upon. Blood spatters all over the ground. He's nailed to a tree. And after 6 hours or so of gasping for breath, he screams the final words, it is finished. And he's laid, the Bible says, in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, and true to his word, he said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. And the Bible says, as our text said at the beginning of this message this morning, that it was very early on that first day of the week, which was a Sunday morning in the Jewish calendar year. It was the very first day of the week, and they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said to themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door, for in front of the door? And when they looked, they saw that this stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And they entered the tomb, and they saw this young man sitting on the right side. And he said, you shouldn't be alarmed. I know who you're looking for. You're looking for the man Jesus who was crucified, but you need to know the man who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. When he came up out of the grave on the first day of the week, the blood that he had shed on Calvary's hill, every past sin, every present sin, and every future sin, and that includes you and I, it would be and it was covered by that blood to all who would obey the gospel. When he
came up out of the grave. The world that was buried in steep sin, it was in need of a risen Savior. And the Savior, he told that great man, the Apostle Peter, sometime earlier, he said, Peter, upon your revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, Peter, whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. And Peter, he preaches that great message on Pentecost. We'll talk about it in 50 days from today on Pentecost Sunday, when he preaches and he responds to a question after that the Holy Ghost falls on them. And they heard all these folks speaking in weird languages, and they said, man, what in the world is going on? And Peter starts preaching, saying, these aren't drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saith the Lord, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit. And he preaches to them Jesus. He lets them know, you're the one who crucified him. You're the reason why he died. And they're convicted. That means they feel horrible. They're getting buried in sin. Man, I'm a sinner. Man, I'm a nobody. I'm a lowlife. I shouldn't be here. And finally, in Acts 2:37, the gospel sword is penetrating their heart. And they ask the question, well, what must we do? And Peter, for the first time in history, he picks up the gospel shovel and he shovels off the first load of dirt and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've come today with a very simple Easter message to preach and tell you today, as a result of Adam's fall, all of humanity has been born into a sinful nature. All of humanity has a nature that's bent towards sin. David said, I was born in sin at my mother's birth. But I'm pleased to preach today to this great group of believers on this Easter Sunday about a risen Savior for a buried world. I'm pleased to let you know that Jesus took away the curse of sin, that Jesus took away the heaviness of sin. I feel it on me right now. Hear me, somebody, today. You may have walked in heavy in spirit today, but you can leave light today when you understand that God has gotten up out of a grave so that you may be saved. Anybody perfect? Anybody married to a perfect person? Huh? Anybody's spouse think they're perfect? But now's a good time to tell them you're a liar and you're going to hell for lying, all right? Everybody in this room, I don't care if you're 75 and got it together, think you got it together, or if you're 25 just trying to find your way, all right? Everybody in this room, I don't care how much money you got. Hello? I don't care how low the account is. Everybody in this room, I don't care how nice the house is, if you live in a shack, everybody in this room is a S-I-N-N-E-R. All right? Everybody in this house is in need of someone to do away with the guilt and the shame and the anger and the fear and the doubt. Everybody in this room, including the preacher, I repent every day. God help me, Lord, live a good life. I don't want to be a sinner, God. I want to be a good man, not because I'm somebody, but I need God to know. I know I'm nothing without your grace. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. It is the will of God for everybody in this house today to leave this house from under the load of guilt, from being buried in shame, buried in doubt, buried in fear, thinking I'm inferior to God. No, you're not. He made a way on a cross called Calvary. And because of the blood he shed, you can walk boldly to the throne of grace and experience him like you've never experienced him before. The Bible said in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Paul said, all sinned. Paul said, if anyone says he didn't sin, he's a liar. Hello? The Bible lets us know very plainly, Jesus is speaking to Martha, and he's talking about Lazarus, but the principle applies today. He said, Martha, do you believe I can get him back up out of the grave? Do you believe I can raise him up, Martha? And she said, Lord, I know you're the resurrection. He said, no, Martha, you have to understand something. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I preached about it the other day, that God works backwards. God works from death to life. That simply means, if you walked in dead this morning, if you walked in dead in spirit today, if you walked in buried by every type of sin, and you feel like you can't escape the sin of your past, and you feel like you can't ever get out from under the heavy load of bondage from yesteryear, I'm here to tell you, he makes all things new. He can bring dead things back to life again. He said, if you can but believe, I walk by faith, not by sight. He told Thomas, he said, son, I know you had to touch my nail prints to believe. But he said, blessed are those who have not seen, yet they still believe. I preach to people today who you may feel like you're not worthy. Hear me, somebody, right now. You may feel like you're not worthy today, but God made you worthy at a cross called Calvary. He just needs you to believe again. Jesus said, the Son of Man, he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Ezekiel 37. It's a very interesting passage. I've enjoyed preaching from it for many years. But there's a bigger principle behind Ezekiel 37. When you read that scripture, God takes the man Ezekiel by a vision, and he puts him into a valley of dry bones, and he asks the question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, being the smart guy that he is, he says, Lord, only you know those kind of answers. And the Bible says that God spoke to Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, I want you to speak to dead things, and I want you to tell the dead things they have to come back to life again. And the Bible says that God, hear me, he honored Ezekiel's word. When Ezekiel spoke, when Ezekiel began to obey the Lord, life began to come back again. Hear me, someone, right now. There's a principle here. When you learn that you can't do it by yourself, when you learn that you don't have the ability to make it, I feel it today. Just let me be me right now. When you understand that you don't have the power on your own to get up out of the mess and the struggle, that I know you think you're good, you got your cute clothes on, your glad rags, and everything's right. It's not all right. That's why you got so much depression on top of you. That's why you're fighting so much fear and so much anxiety. It's because you don't understand. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're dealing with spirits and principalities, and you have to know obedience is the first key. And when Ezekiel obeyed the Lord began to move, and you have to begin to obey the Lord. And as you obey the Lord, the thing that was dead has to start coming alive. When you start obeying the Lord, the thing that looked like it would never come back alive again, it's going to come back to life again. I'm telling someone right now, I know it's Easter and I feel an Easter spirit here, but God wants to help somebody and tell you today, you may have come in scattered, but you can leave put back together. You may have come in feeling like this is the end, but God can put you back together. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Come on, class, talk to me. What happened to Humpty Dumpty? All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put poor Humpty. It's funny, a story in the Bible. Or not in the Bible, good God Almighty. That ain't the Bible. Some of y'all didn't catch that, right? That ain't the Bible. Amen. But nobody ever asked the king what he could do. It was people trying to figure it out by themselves. Hear me, I'm telling you right now, I don't want to get on a weird tangent here. I know it's Easter, and I got to be careful what I say. God can do for you what appeal can't do for you. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not against medicine. I'm not preaching that jazz, all right? I believe in that stuff if it's okay, if it's okay and it's under a doctor's care. I'm not against that stuff. But I'm telling you, there's some things that medical doctors just can't do. And there's people who walk in broken and shattered by life. It's good. Go to counseling. Get help. That's great. But somewhere in the mix of that, God's got to get in the picture. Somewhere in the mix of that, God has got to come and play. Because by my own efforts, I'm going to be in a pine. By my own wisdom, I'm going to be in trouble. I need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God. And some people have walked in. I'm not just preaching to this crowd, but in generality, people are walking in churches. They're messed up. They're scattered and they're broken and their life's all over the ground. They're buried by heaps of guilt. They're buried by life that's just hammered them into the ground. And their greatest moments are they come into church on Sunday and they see a glint of sunlight only to have the grave kicked on top of them on Monday. But I'm telling you today, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He doesn't want you to stay buried forever. He wants you to get out of the grave today and let you know, I got up out of the grave so you can get up out of the grave. I got out of the grave so you can experience life. Everyone said obedience. Remember this, and we're going to bring it down. You come to the piano, babe. Remember this. God will never in a million years force you to do anything. Okay? I'm not the cop. I'm not a policeman. I'm just a messenger, right? I just deliver mail every service. Now, some folks ain't checked the mailbox in 30 years. That ain't my problem. That ain't God's problem. Uh-oh, I felt it. So stop blaming the preacher. Oh, God. Stop blaming the Lord for something He didn't do. He'd been sending you love notes for 25 years. Oh, God. And it may not come across the pulpit. It'd be driving that when I was in the Houston area, 89.3 KSPJ. I don't know how many times God spoke to me through a song. A preacher's a whole lot bigger than a pulpit. Thank God for the pulpit. Thank God for pastors and preachers. But I'm telling you, I've seen God preach to me through all kinds of ways. And God forgive me for the times I said, I don't need no mail today. I'm good. And being the God that He is, He said, all right, it's up to you. But He came again on Sunday, April the 5th, Easter Sunday, 2026, and He's trying to open your mailbox. And He's trying to let you know today, I know what's inside of you. I know you smile, but I know you're crying inside. I know you think you got it together, but you really don't have it together. You just act like you got it together. When's the last time you got open and transparent with God and said, God, I really need you today? Come on, believers. I'm not talking to sinners. I'm talking to believers right now. When's the last time, believer, you got serious with God and said, Lord, I really need you today. I'm broken in some places. I'm hurting in some places. I feel like I'm being buried up since. I need you, God, to uncover some things. But He's a gentleman. He won't make you do it. This is crazy. Back to that mailbox analogy. I've read many letters from Him and threw them away. Is that Bible? Yeah, it's Bible. The Bible says that the sower, the guy who sows seeds, he tosses them out every service. And the Bible, I didn't make this up. The Bible said this. Only 25% of the seed makes it to a heart. The Bible lists four types of grounds. And only says there's just one good ground. There's hard ground. There's a ground where it has a little bit of roots, but it doesn't want anyone to kind of dig on them a little bit. They don't want to submit to the Word of God. Don't submit to me, but they don't want to submit to the Word of God. They'll spring up for a day or two, and the Bible says when the sun comes on them, they wither away. There's thorns that come, the Bible said, on one ground, it chokes out the life. And the Bible says there is some good ground. So about 25%. Will hear it and receive it. Now, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I'll just preach about me because all I know is me. There's been many days where I only gave God that 25% and said, God, I don't want to hear it today. The preacher, he talks too loud, and yeah, this ain't for me. And God, being the gentleman that He is,
he just said, okay, I'll try it again next Sunday. I'll try it again tomorrow. I'll try it again next week. But all weekend long, in my Bible reading, I listen to the Bible instead of reading because my ADD brain can hardly sometimes keep up with what I'm reading, and I listen to the Bible. And all weekend long, multiple times, I'd start a chapter, and I'd say, I got to finish it later, and I'd finish it, and I never did finish it, and my crazy app makes me start over again every time. And the verse of Scripture, then I feel it this morning, it rung out every time. This is the day of salvation. This, everyone said this. This is the day that a risen Savior came for a buried soul. That's not a manipulation tactic. That's not a preacher trying to get people in the altar tactic. No, that's a Bible tactic. This is the day of salvation. What's that mean? Now is the acceptable time. Hello. God's delivering mail this morning. I pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ that every heart is open today. I pray that you would receive the word of the Lord today and hear the Lord say to you today, I can really get you out of that. I can really uncover you today. Why don't we all stand? I can really take you out of some stuff, of some crud, of some stuff that's weighing you down in your spirit today. Paul told us over and over, and I didn't even get to it today, in the book of Romans, he said, guys, he has quickened you who were dead in sins. He said, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. He let us know that you were dead, you were buried, but when you obeyed the gospel, he uncovered you. I challenge you today as I close, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, which is the greatest thing, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection, it'd be a great day to obey the gospel. Amen. It'd be a great day to repent of your sins. Remember this, our church, you've heard me say it, but if you never heard me say it, I'll say it again. God does not demand perfection. Okay? God does not demand perfection, but he does ask that you head in the right direction. He does ask that you make an effort. That's what we call repentance. Repentance is, I'm turning around from the direction I was headed and I'm going the opposite way. Okay? Everyone said that's repentance. Everyone said that's the death. And that's what Paul said, we're identified with Christ by his death. That's repentance. Paul said we're identified with him by his burial. That's baptism. Amen. Peter said we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the washing away of sin. That's his burial. And Paul said we're raised to new life with him. That's the resurrection. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's when Christ takes up residence in your heart. Amen. And when you receive that Holy Spirit, you'll speak in a heavenly language. God, have mercy. God, hear me today. If you've not experienced that, that is for you today. I think it'd be great before I go any further and we close, if we just all bowed our head and closed our eyes. You don't have to pray, but if you want to pray, just ask God, Lord, forgive me, God, of anything in my heart. I don't care if you're a believer, non-believer, whatever. God, forgive me, God, of anything I've done, anything I've said, Lord. Wash my mind, Jesus. Wash my heart, Lord. Wash my soul. Cleanse me today, God, I pray. Purify my mind today, I pray, oh God. Wash me clean today, I pray, oh God. I'm buried, God, in sin. I pray, God, forgive. I pray, God, uncover. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, wash me today, Lord. Cleanse me today, oh God, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, we give it to you, Lord. We repent before you today, asking for your mercy, asking for your grace today, God. Be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Did you know that repentance when a heart is sincere, when a heart truly repents before the Lord, instantaneously, you're forgiven. I want you to hear me. The adversary is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. He condemns us. You didn't mean that. You weren't serious about that. No, no, no. If a heart truly repents, they are forgiven. Sins are washed away in the waters of baptism when the name of Jesus is invoked over your life. Hello? And the Bible says if that same spirit that dwells in Christ also dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. Speaking of when it's time for the resurrection. Amen. If you don't have that spirit today, you can have that before you leave today. If you're a believer in this house today, you've obeyed the gospel, I appeal to you today. If you feel like, God, I feel like I'm covered up. Maybe I'm covered up by work. I'm covered up by all kinds of stuff at home. Whatever it is, Lord, I need a risen Savior, God, to uncover some things in my life. Would anybody be honest besides me and say, Lord, there's been times, maybe this week, where I felt like I was being covered up. Anybody? Where I felt like, man, I was being just, man, just ran over by. What is that? That's just called life. Don't mean you're a sinner. It's just called life. But a risen Savior, he came for a buried world in sin, but he also came for people who were lost, who were undone, and for those who were good believers who are fighting the fight of faith. So I want to pray this prayer before we close. I want to pray for everyone. If you've not received the Holy Ghost, you can receive it today. Amen. If you repent of your sins, receiving the Holy Spirit is not some mathematical equation. Hello. I mean, it's for anybody. It's for everybody. Amen. It's where everyone said worship. Worship to God. It's not about a phrase you say. It's not about saying this 10 times. That's not how it is. When a heart's ready, God's ready. So I ask you as I pray, just begin to praise the Lord. They're going to sing a song for a couple of times. But I'm praying for those that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, God can fill you. If you're a believer and you're fighting the fight of faith, we're praying for God to help you somehow get out from under the load, under the burden, under the stuff that's weighing you down, all right? Would you help me pray for about 2 or 3 minutes today? Let's pray. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for every soul in this house that's not been filled but desires to be filled. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus to fill them with the Holy Spirit, God. Let them experience the power of your presence, God. You said that you're no respecter of person. I speak life over this church. I speak life over this community, God. I speak life over this entire county, God. This will be a church that experiences, God, the supernatural, that experiences miracle signs and wonders, God. We will see, God, your spirit poured out like never before, God. I pray for every saint of God who walked in today carrying a heavy load. I pray, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch every saint of God today, I pray, oh Lord. I pray, help us, oh God, uncover, God, the heaviness. Take away the heaviness, oh God, I pray. God, you're a risen Savior for a very world. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now, God. Uncover, God, the hurts. Uncover, God, the wounds, oh God, I pray. Come on, church, let's worship the Lord. Oh,
those who are weary, God. I pray the Holy Ghost, God, would undergird those today, God, in need of your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for coming to the UPC of Paris on Easter Sunday. We thank you for coming. God bless you. Lord willing, if you're home, folk, we'll see you back here Wednesday night. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Yeah. I got it.
I know. Y'all are, aren't we?
Here, come here, Lynn. Bobby Pinn.